Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I'll read it again. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. As we're at the beginning of a new year, and as we're likely to make many decisions throughout this year, and not least as a congregation, I thought I would use this verse to give some teaching on guidance, or divine guidance. And the very first question I want to ask right away is, when we speak about praying for guidance, what exactly are we seeking? What are we looking for? And the words of our text make it very, very clear. Secret things belong to the Lord our God. We are forbidden. We are prohibited from trying to guess what God's secret will is. That's not the exercise. When in God's providence we are to choose a new minister this year, you're not to try and guess who has God secretly ordained should eventually be here. Our text tells us, secret things belong to the Lord our God. But, on the other hand, there are things that belong to us. Those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, in order that we may do all the words of this law. So here is this one verse in the Bible, and it is teaching us, when we seek God's face, when we pray for guidance, what we are praying for is that God would enlighten our minds to understand what the Bible instructs us we ought to do. Secret things belong to God, nothing to do with us, but what God has made known in the Bible, that belongs to us. That's what we're to seek. What are God's instructions? What are God's laws? What are God's advice to people in certain situations? And you see, it's very significant that this verse comes at the end of the chapter. We read there about the very nations outside of Israel saying, what on earth went wrong with that people, Israel? They were so blessed. God prospered them so much. But look what's happened to them now. What happened? What went wrong? And the answer is very clearly there. They did not follow the laws which the Bible taught them. They did not keep the covenant which God made with them. God said to them, look, do this. This is what I want you to do. And if you do that, I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. I'll lead you through the wilderness for 40 years. And you see, we read there, in these 40 years, I led you. Did your clothes wear out? What do you think of that, ladies? No new garments for 40 years. Your shoes, your sandals, you walked for 40 years, same pair of sandals. Who kept them? I kept them. Did you eat bread? Did you drink wine? No, I fed you. Manna from the wilderness. And by the way, do you know how much there was every morning? Every morning they went out. You remember the manna, it was like little flakes, white flakes, just like white cornflakes. every morning. God delivered, I think I worked it out, or someone did, I should say, and we came across it once, 32 ton of cornflakes every morning in the wilderness. God did it. Are you going to follow me, or are you going to look for your own food? Look what I did for you for 40 years. And all the nations round about saw it and knew it. And they said, their God is with them, whoever their God is. But look at them now. Look at the mess they're in now. What went wrong? Well, he tells them what went wrong. They disobeyed his laws. So, we are at all times, not just when choosing a minister, but in all our lives, when we ask, we're looking for guidance, we're looking for God to follow us. Really, we're asking the same question. That question, seeking guidance, resolves itself into this question. What is my duty according to the Bible? According to the revealed word of God? What's my duty? What ought we to do in such and such a situation? Now, a second question you might ask. Is God going to reveal his will to us? What right have we got? And we must always remember, God is under no obligation to make his, to speak to us at all. He's not under any obligation to reveal his will to us. So have we any right to expect guidance? Well, yes, he has. You see, guidance is difficult. First of all, because we have a darkened mind. Once somebody is converted, they still have a darkened mind with regard to spiritual issues. They're still in the dark. Just because our sins are forgiven doesn't mean we have all knowledge and all light. We still possess a darkened mind. Light has shone in. But that light has to go into every corner of our darkened minds. We also have a tempting devil. He tirelessly seeks to deflect the Christian from his duty. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, you read the instructions how we are to resist the devil, and then we're told, having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. You see, having done all, you might feel exhausted and feel like collapsing. But the Bible says, having done all, stand. You see, devils don't tire. You and I tire. Devils don't tire. But they know we do. And they go for you when you're tired, when you're weary. The devil's a dirty fighter. And he waits for you to be tired, he waits for you to be ill, he waits for you to be fed up, and then he steps in. Having done all, stand. This is a holy warfare, a holy fight. We have a dark, guidance is difficult because we've got a darkened mind. Guidance is difficult because Satan tirelessly seeks to deflect us. Guidance is difficult because God, in providence, has a multi-purpose design. Do you ever find yourself saying, why did God do that to me? I don't understand why God let that happen to me. That's because God has more than one purpose in his providence. God is teaching different people different lessons by the same act of providence. It's not just you he's dealing with. He's dealing with the people you work with. He's dealing with your friends. He's dealing with your relatives. They see that something in providence has happened in your life, and they're watching you to see how you'll react. God's teaching them as well as teaching you. God's design in bringing unique providences about is multi-purpose. Teaching different lessons to different people at different times through the one act. God has ordained, you see, that we grow in grace through being exercised about all these difficult things. That's how we grow, struggling with this issue, struggling with that issue. God uses that to build us up and to strengthen us in the faith. But to return to the subject about God giving guidance, He has said in this word that He will guide us. And we sang it. That's why we sang in Psalm 25 and Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is addressed to the forgiven sinner. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 1. We sang verse 8. I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way how you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Who has God promised? Who has God stated in His word? He will guide the forgiven sinner. But not simply every forgiven sinner. He teaches us in the very next verse, Psalm 32 verse 9, which we also sang, for a forgiven sinner, for a Christian, to be guided truly by God, he needs to have his will yielded, a yielded will. Psalm 32 verse 9, it says, be not like the horse or the mule, which do not understand, which must be harnessed in with a bit and a bridle. You lead a horse, you put blinkers on horses, you put bridles on horses. You want them to go in a certain way. The horse has his own mind, he wants to go here. But you see, a horse has to have a bit and a bridle, and twisting round where to go. And the Bible says to Christians, don't be like the horse, who's got his own will, his own determination. Have your will yielded to me. So God has said that He will guide the forgiven sinner who has a yielded will. You see, are you like me? I pray to God, and really, I'm not asking Him for guidance. I'm actually kind of telling Him, would you mind obliging by giving me what I want? I've got my mind made up. I'm praying about a certain thing, and I'm asking God really to try and bring about what I want. That's not guidance. We have to have our will yielded. We come to God and say, Lord, whatever you say, whoever you want, whatever you want me to do, that's a yielded will. God says, I will guide that person whose will is yielded. But not just a yielded will, a humble mind. Psalm 25, verse 9. The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. The meek and lowly He will guide. We sing it often. You see, we can get very proud. We can get very proud. God will supply us. God will answer my prayer. If we pray 24/7, God will answer us. The humble, the meek, and the lowly, He will guide. A prayerful spirit. The forgiven sinner whose will is yielded, whose mind is humble, who has a praying spirit. Isn't James chapter 1 verse 5 so encouraging? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Isn't that encouraging? I don't know about you, I find guidance an extremely difficult thing. And I have to say to God so often, I haven't got a clue what my duty is. You teach me. You tell me. Here is the Bible. James chapter 1 verse 5. Do you lack wisdom? Do you not know what to do? Ask of God. And finally, it's the Christian, the forgiven sinner, who has a trusting heart. A yielded will, a humble mind, a prayerful spirit, and a trustful heart. Trust in the Lord, and He will direct your steps. Proverbs 3, verse 5. We're to trust. We're to believe. This is God's word. Are you trying to follow God? Well, God has said He will lead you. If you're willing to go, to follow, to do what He asks, He says He will lead and guide you. I would have confidence in God, because it can be very discouraging. Seeking God's will, thinking He was saying this, and then discover, no, we were completely wrong. It's over here. We have to have confidence. He will give you, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, there's dangers. Some dangers. A too business-like approach. One danger. Too business-like. All the pros and all the cons. All the things for this, all the things against it. Write it all out. Sum it all up. There's your answer. Well, we have to go through that exercise. But that's, we must beware of a too business-like approach, on the one hand. On the other hand, we've got to beware of being super spiritual, as it were. All we have to do is pray. This is God's word. We don't need to get involved. We don't need to worry about this. We don't need to go through this exercise. Don't need to go through that. We just leave it to God. It's God's work. God has asked us to be involved. I've revealed to you certain things. You get working. You get studying the word. You get looking around at providences. Now, some people, for example, they would use, we're looking here at some dangers, putting a fleece before the Lord, like Gideon did. Lord, it's often used, the term is used, but, you know, read it carefully. Judges 6, verse 36. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece in the wool and the threshing floor. If there's dew in the fleece only, is dry and dry in the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." You see, as far as I can see, Gideon's problem was not knowing the will of God. He knew perfectly well what God said. He says two or three times there, "as you have said." What Gideon was praying for was strength to go forward. God told him to lead Israel out to war. And that needed courage, and he hadn't got the courage. And he hadn't got the strength. It isn't really guidance. Of course, we also have to remember they did not have the Bible. They did not have the written word, as we have also. So, beware of the too business-like approach. Beware of being super spiritual on the other hand. Beware of personal tastes and selfishness. Beware of, well, escapism. I'm telling you, it can be tiring. It can be hard. You say, oh, let's leave that to the elders. Leave that to other people. You know, what's all these things? What's romantic daydreaming? We all want the best preacher. Of course we do. We mightn't all agree who he is, but we all want the best. Of course we do. Just because we all have romantic ideas. Well, we all know God can send people, but you've got to have reasons why He might. Now, God will not give us, or anyone, special guidance when common sense rules apply. That is the common sense, the common directives of His word, His laws. There's no way that God is going to lead us against His word or against His ways. Now, you remember Peter was in the prison, time of persecution. He was in chains, and he was going to be executed the next day. And God came and gave him special guidance. What happened? An angel came, and he had awakened Peter up. And the angel woke Peter up. The angel took his chains off. The angel opened the gates of the way out of the prison, took him by the hand, led him out of the prison, and then into the street, and then disappeared. Disappeared. And Peter was left in the street all on his own. What's he going to do? He couldn't just say, oh, well, this is all God's work. Sent an angel. I have nothing to do. I'll just wait here till the angel comes back and leads me. No, no. What do you read? Where is it? Acts 12:12. When he considered the thing. The supernatural intervention of the angel was over. That was done. And now he has to consider the thing. Use common sense. Application of the law of God and the word of God. And it can both see both in the one event. He has to consider, what do I do now? Where do I go? And he considered and decided to go, remember, to where the people were praying. We can also be very afraid of change. We can be very afraid of the unknown. But listen, you don't need to be afraid of the unknown. And you don't need to be afraid of change. If God directs, if change for the sake of change, but if God directs us to be changed, no need to fear. If God directs, no need to fear. No need to fear the unknown if God is taking you. What was it that King George, our present Queen's, I mentioned it last week? Put your hand in the hand of God. And that's better than a sure guide. It's safe to walk into the unknown if you walk with God. Now, some basic rules. When you seek basic laws and rules of the word, when you come to the Bible and want to be directed by God's word, draw principles from the Bible rather than simply words from texts. Draw principles. Look for direction and instruction in the Bible rather than just get words to hang on to. Now, let me give you a personal example. You know, or those of you who are older, 20 years ago, you called me. You called me twice. Now, I remember when I was praying about it the first time, I remember coming across my private devotions, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 9. In the authorized versions is, the isles shall wait for him. Now, is there a direction there? Is there an instruction there? Is there a principle there? No, there's not. I was praying to God, asking, do I stay here in Dumbarton or do I move up to the Isles? Thankfully, I did nothing and waited. And then, 1 Peter 5:2. Reading it once again. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. See, that's instruction. I said, yes, Lord, I'm a minister. Yes, I'm to preach, but who am I to preach to? Do I carry on preaching here in the barn or do I go up to Stirling? Which? Feed the flock of God which is among you. Stay where you are in the meantime. See? That's instruction. Direction. Look for principles. Instructions to obey rather than simple. I could have said, oh, the word isles. Oh, the isles. Oh, I'll just go. I'll just wait for that. Now, providence. There's three basic things in guidance. There's the instruction of the word. There's the act of providence. God moves. He's the God who times things perfectly. Again, a personal note. When I was a student, I was absolutely sure for the last 9 months as a student where God was going to send me. Absolutely sure. And so were others. And they told me, you're set for this place. Well, maybe. When the time came, all changed. All changed. 9 months it looked like it. When the time came to sign, to speak, it just wasn't there. Wasn't there. Providence at the time. We've got to have confidence in God's providence of what he does. But the third thing in guidance, basic principles, the word, providence, personal conviction. The hearts of all are in God's hand. God, well, two texts again. Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You say, what ground have I got? Because I want to go somewhere. What ground have I got? It's God. Well, it is God who works in you both to will. You've got this will, you've got this desire, you've got this longing. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Another verse that was very much, I found personally very, very helpful. Psalm 119, verse 32. I will run in the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. See? I will go where you want me to go. When you open my heart. Now, those of you who have other versions, I quoted the authorized version there. Other versions say, I will run in the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. And there's others that have, because you will enlarge my heart. Now, you say, well, which is the right one? Well, as often in the Bible, they're all right. The original word there can be translated either way. The point I want to make is this. God connects your heart with his will. He'll open your heart. How many people have said, oh, I would never go into this situation. And they've gone into it. I remember as students, we all had a discussion. And we all said, well, one thing I'll never do in my congregation. I took a careful note of them. Every single one of us did it the first year. God moves in our hearts. When you're seeking to follow him, when your will is opened out to him. Counselors. Advice from those who know. You might be interested in somebody you don't know. Well, find out about them. And you see, the Bible does say again, Proverbs, without counsel, plans go astray. But in the multitude of counselors, they're established. Plans are established, Proverbs 20:18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. You see, there's a war going on with the devil. By wise counsel. You don't know about someone. Well, find out about someone. Look into their background. By counsel. No man has a monopoly of knowledge. And be prepared to seek the rest of God's servants, the rest of God's counselors and people for advice. Another basic rule, it's one step at a time. Would like God just to look, just write in the sky the name of the person. Wouldn't it be lovely? One step at a time. What do we do now? What do we do today? One step at a time. And yet you've got to keep on moving. You can't, I always remember riding a bike first. You fall off if you stand still. Now I remember again, I made that terrible mistake because I made a big mistake when I was a student. This guidance. And I said, right, I'm doing nothing. I'm doing nothing for 3 weeks. I thought I was, as I indicated already, thought I was directed somewhere else and I was completely wrong. So I did nothing until eventually the press were going to come on. You've got a call to preach or not. Get going. Make a decision. And you see, God will not guide a stationary bicycle. You try to ride a bicycle, you can't get guidance standing still. You've got to be moving to get guidance. So you've got to be exercised. Take a break, certainly, when you need a break. But you can't steer a stationary car. You can't steer a stationary bicycle. You need to be moving all the time. But it's one step at a time. Well, one other, I suppose it's a warning actually. Doors opening and closing. I don't quite know how to put this, but I'll just put it this way. God will not close a door that he has above it. Do not enter. And God has forbidden something in his word. Don't say, well, can we push and we'll see if it opens. And if it opens, we'll take it as God's providence. Not if he has a note above it. Do not enter. If God has clearly stated in the word, don't do this, you don't need guidance. You've got it. Don't do it. Well, just a wee bit more specifically, we would all like, wouldn't we, a lot more information in the Bible about calling a minister, wouldn't we? I certainly would. Why is there not more information in the Bible about it? Well, one reason is, in Bible times, pastors, evangelists, shepherds were appointed by God. They were appointed by Christ. They were appointed by the apostles. When we have no detailed specifics for a special situation, we have to go to the general principles of guidance in the word. We have to remember too, as we do our choosing and that voting, the church is not a democracy. We get confused with politics, don't we? Oh, as long as you get 51%. Is that the way God directs his church? 51% of the people? The church is not a democracy. The church is a theocracy. It is it's the congregation choosing as a unit under divine guidance. And I think I mentioned in the note in the newsletter, we appoint spiritual leaders who are to lead. They're not to take over, but they are to lead. And that's what's so very important about appointing spiritual leaders. But it's all under divine guidance, all seeking to gather what is God saying. Now, all congregations have general needs. All pastors have general gifts, or at least we should have. General needs in general. The specific exercise, we might say, is how does a congregation's specific needs match a minister's specific gifts? What is the greatest need? Is it a preacher? Is it a pastor? Is it outreach work? Is it evangelistic work? Is it children's work? What is it? All have general, but what's a specific need? And you see again, that's the importance of seeking God to keep us united, because we all have our different ideas, we all have our different preferences. Some like theological preachers, some like devotional, some like practical, some like Bible studies, you know. We can't get a majority of people agree. Divine guidance working together as a unit. Well, just two things finally. I'm sorry if it's a wee bit longer. The whole exercise of choosing the minister is a very spiritual exercise. It's a very spiritual exercise. And our Bible tells us it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We've got to start there. We need divine direction. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps. He gave them what they, Psalm 106 verse 5, he gave them what they requested, but he sent leanness to their soul, and that's certainly something we should watch. And you remember there's a solemn lesson here in Israel when they wanted a king. They said to God, we want a king. We want to be like the others. We want a king. And what's God's reply? Well, Hosea 13:11. Solemn reply. I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. So we must be sure who are walking in God's ways and following him and seeking him. But finally, let's hear from Christ. Let the last word be Christ. What does he say to us about laborers in the harvest? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest. And there's this other verse in Romans 10:15. How can they preach unless they be sent? In the last analysis, it's not just who we want. It has to be who will God send. That's why you need to pray so much about it. And Jesus says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. That's part of the exercise, identifying, trying to discern who is God preparing, who is God sending into the harvest. And it can be a very discouraging work, but we mustn't be discouraged. Is God head of the church? We've got to have confidence in him. He will guide and he will direct, and as long as we are submissive and willing to him. But the main thing is prayer. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he, God, would send laborers into his harvest. May God bless his word to us. Let's just bow our heads in prayer.